Good morning, people of God.
Good morning.
Welcome this morning as we do come together in this time of worship. We share together in this fellowship and time. Oh, by the way, I'll remind you now, and I will remind you at the end. Our fall congregational meeting is after worship today at 10:10. And I'm taking a roll to see who stays. Not really. But what I want to encourage you to do is to take, because there's going to be a lot of information about future ministry options and ministry type of things in that meeting. So I want to really encourage you to stick around and receive that information and just to see how wonderful you people are. Let's just put it that way. All right? By the way, how are you? Wonderful, wonderful. Today is our youth Sunday, and so our youth will be leading our worship today. Also, we will be having one of our youth giving their God sighting today. Throughout this year, we have been having different people speak how they encounter, how they see God active in life and such. And believe it or not, this is part of our stewardship. Because part of our stewardship is, how do we see God active in our lives, active in the things that happen all around us, happen through people, happen through congregations, happen through many different things. And so this morning we're going to invite Sam to come up and share his God sighting. Sam? You can push that off to the side for a second.
Right.
He's a big boy.
Good morning. All right, so for my God sighting, I'm going to talk about Luther Park Bible Camp. We would have Bible worship every day, and we would just choose a random spot to sit throughout the camp. And whenever we would do that, we would just sit in a circle on the ground or like on a table or something, like at the seats of the table, and then we would just talk about the Bible, and like then we would like conversate about what we're going to do today. And I feel like every time we would do that, God was with us, and he was just sitting there with us, just listening to our conversations. And also, when we would do our activities, having fun with friends and just like going out into the activities, we would just do all the stuff. And I just feel like God was just hanging out with us all the time while we were doing that. And I could just feel a presence there with us. And just the entire week, I could just feel him with us, so
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light and our Savior.
Amen.
Light of Jesus Christ means, you are Lord and Lord, and the Lord Jesus, you are the water, and is like the resurrection of Jesus. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, Holy Gracious God, for the waters of the earth. wide oceans, rushing streams, clear lakes, mighty rivers, you know and be blessed. Susan, you test, Jesus Christ, my Savior and Lord, lives and reigns with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The Christ of peace be with you.
And also with you.
Let us share the peace of Christ that we have through his forgiveness with one another.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Sovereign God,
you turn your greatness into goodness for all the peoples on earth. Shape us into the willing servants of your kingdom, and make us desire always and only your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
First reading, Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 8. He suffered the things we should have suffered. He took on himself the pain that should have been ours. But we thought God was punishing him. We thought God was wounding him and making him suffer. But the servant was pierced because we had sinned. He was crushed because we had done what was evil. He was punished to make us whole again. His wounds have healed us. All of us are like sheep. We have wandered away from God. All of us have turned to our own way. And the Lord was placed on his servant, the sins of all of us. He was treated badly and made to suffer, but he didn't open his mouth. He was led away like a lamb to be killed. Sheep are silent while their wool is being cut off. In the same way, he didn't open his mouth. He was arrested and sentenced to death. Then he was taken away. He was cut off from this life. He was punished for the sins of my people. Who among those who were living at that time tried to stop what was happening?
He was given the grave of those who were evil, but his body was buried in the tomb of a rich man. He was killed even though he hadn't harmed anyone, and he had never lied to anyone. The Lord says, it was my plan to crush him and cause him to suffer. I made his life an offering to pay for sin, but he will see all his children after him. In fact, he will continue to live. My plan will be brought about through him. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life, and we will be satisfied. My godly servants will make many people godly because of what he will accomplish. He will be punished for their sins, so I will give him a place of honor among those who are great. He will be rewarded just like others who win the battle. That's because he was willing to give his life as a sacrifice. He was counted among those who had committed crimes. He took the sins of many people on himself, and he gave his life for those who had done what is wrong. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm today is Psalm 93, 91, chapters 9 through 16. Suppose, you say, the Lord is the one who keeps me safe. Suppose you let the Most High God be like a home to you. The Lord will command his angels to take good care of you. You will walk on lions and cobras. You will crush mighty lions and poisonous snakes.
The Lord says, "Save the lives of those who keep them safe because he trusts in me."
He will call out to me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in times of trouble. I will save him and honor him.
I will give him the law.
The second reading is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. So does belonging to Christ help you in any way? Does his love comfort you at all? Do you share anything in common because of the Holy Spirit? Has Christ ever been gentle and loving toward you? If any of these things has happened to you, then agree with one another, have the same love, be one in spirit and in the way you think and act. By doing this, you will make my joy complete. Don't do anything only to get ahead. Don't do it because you are proud. Instead, be humble, value others than yourself. None of you should look out just for your own good. Each of you should also look out for the good of others.
As you deal with one another, you should think and act as Jesus did. In his very nature, he was God. Jesus was equal with God, but Jesus did not take advantage of that fact. Instead, he made himself nothing. He did this by taking on the nature of a servant. He was made just like human beings. He appeared as a man. He was humble and obeyed God completely. He even did this, though it led to his death. Even worse, he died on a cross. So God lifted him up to the highest place. God gave him the name that is above every name. When the name of Jesus is spoken, everyone will kneel down to worship him. Everyone in heaven and on earth and under the earth will kneel down to worship him. Everyone's mouth will say that Jesus Christ is Lord, and God the Father will receive the glory. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to John chapter 15. Here is my command. Love one another just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than the one who gives their life for their friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I do not call you slaves anymore. Slaves do not know their master's business. From my Father, you did not choose me. Instead, I chose you. I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last. I also appointed you so that the Father will give you what you ask for. He will give whatever you ask for in my name. Here is my command. Love one another. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, O Christ.
May be seated. Please pray with me. Loving and gracious God, we are grateful this day for your love that you surround us, for calling us to be your children, and for claiming us as your own. We give you thanks for your word. Now may the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our Redeemer. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we're doing that's what he said, but I gotta warn you, everything I say today is that's what he said. Did you take a look at that gospel text? Love one another just as I have loved you. No greater love has a love than the one who gives his life for their friends. You did not choose me, I chose you. So we're in kind of a conundrum here. Because you guys are going to be talking all the time. Because that's what he said. Taking seriously the things that Jesus says and affecting how we live our lives is what we're talking about here. In our gospel text here, we have Jesus nearing the end of his ministry. His disciples have been with him for 3 years. They have seen Jesus cast out demons, heal the sick, give signs, sight to the blind, and enable lame people to walk. All these different things. They've been with Jesus when he stilled storms and fed 5,000 people. Jesus has taught them many things about God, about life, the world, and themselves. And now this scene in John's Gospel, Jesus sums up his ministry with his teaching. It's in one word. It's to love. Love one another just as I have loved you. Oh, come on. Love one another just as I have loved you. That's what he said. I guess we really shouldn't be too surprised at that, because that is the central message that Jesus continues to show us. Love, or the lack of love, are powerful forces in our lives. Just think of it. The songs and the poems, the books that are written about the subject. I would say the majority of movies, except maybe around Halloween, have to do with love or falling out of love or something like that. Deep within ourselves, we crave love and realize that love is vital to our very existence. We need that. We need to know that we're loved. Most of us also realize that we cannot have a full life unless we also love others. Love one another just as I have loved you. Boy, I almost caught you off guard. Isn't that true, though? That we can't live a full life unless we're also able to love? To love and to be loved. We also know how fragile love is. How easy it can be ruined by hate, by fear, by prejudice, judgmentalism, even the lack of forgiveness. There are times when it's difficult, if not impossible, to love because we have been so deeply wounded. Have you ever felt wounded that you don't know whether you're able to forgive, to love? In the midst of all our struggles with love, Jesus not only reminds us of its importance to us, but also instructs us how to be centered in love. Now, the first key that enables us to be centered in love is to be found in verse 16 in here. Jesus says, I want to know if you caught this or not. Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you because I chose you and appointed you to bear much fruit." Did you catch that? You did not choose me, but I chose you to go and bear fruit. We are chosen. We are chosen. We've been named, claimed. Oftentimes I'll begin at the baptismal font with our confession of forgiveness at the beginning of the service and say, we begin here remembering who we are and to whom we belong. That's where we begin. We begin with that sense of being claimed and named. Now, I'm sure we've all had experiences, perhaps in school. I remember standing in the line and the popular kids are the captains of the team. And they are choosing their team. They take turns. Have you ever been towards the end of the line of being chosen? How many have experienced that in some fashion in their lives? Yeah. Or perhaps you've tried out for a part in a school play or something like that, or a position, or you wanted to get into band or something like that, and you didn't get it. Those things can be devastating. For some people, it is an experience that leaves a mark on their lives. At the same time, we get excited when we're chosen. Have you ever been excited when you're chosen for something? Yes? No? Especially when you're not last. Our experience with love begins with our being chosen by God. This action by God is highlighted in our sacrament of baptism. We bring a child or a young adult to the waters of baptism, or an adult. By the way, the oldest person I've baptized in my ministry is 88 years old. 88 years old. Hazel. Hazel, her husband, Russell, was in the hospital. They were not church folk. Her friend, Ollie Gass. It's true. Her last name is Gass. We could have a lot of fun with that, I suppose, couldn't we? I'm sorry. I need to be careful here, don't I? We're on the radio. Ollie Gass was her friend, neighbor. And she called me up because Russell was in the hospital. And so went to the hospital to be with Russell. He died. We had his funeral. He was not a church person, but we had his funeral. We gathered together as God's people to proclaim the love of God in Christ Jesus. And in the process, she came to me and she wanted to be baptized. It didn't happen right away. But guess who her godparent was? Aldi Gass. She didn't want the whole congregation. So as a church council one night, the church council represented that congregation and gathered around the baptismal font with her and proclaimed the words, "We welcome you into the Lord's family. We receive you as a fellow member of the body of Christ, worker with us in the kingdom of God." 88 years old. Not bad, huh? God works. God's love works. God's choosing works. God's incentive works. You see, God's action is not based on any good deeds. God's steadfast and unchanging love is His total motivation. We can't explain it. We don't know why. All we can say is that God has taken the initiative and has loved us and chosen us. Because of this, we are forever different. We are different. We are forever blessed. Jesus calls His disciples to remain in His love. The word literally means to pitch a tent, to remain, to dwell. We're invited to enter into God's love and take up residence in that love. This dynamic of remaining in God's love is difficult to explain, but we have all experienced in some way in our daily lives. The love and support of a parent, that allows that first day of school, you out the door on the bus or that, or the love of spouses or family and friends that helps us face challenges of our daily lives. Even when we are separated by thousands of miles, perhaps on trips, business trips, or even deployed in the service, the love of others is a part of our lives. Love keeps us going. God's love works in our lives in the same way. When we dwell in God's love, we have peace and contentment. We sense God's hands upon us and see God's movement in our lives. In the midst of grief, of tragedy, we sense God's care and comfort, especially as we see the people of God surrounding in our need. When we face overwhelming challenges or when life crashes down around us, it is God's love that gives us strength and determination to keep on going. When we question God's love for us, those types of things kind of evaporate, you might say. Not seeing God's loving presence in our times of grief and struggle, we begin to slip. We forget. Our situations may not change, but our lives are transformed when we rediscover God's love for us. And we need to rediscover that day in and day out. Jesus tells his disciples about his love and being chosen so that their joy may be complete, a completeness. Remaining in God's love, living each day of our lives in the reality of God's love, brings peace, contentment, and joy in our lives. Sharing our love with others allows us to experience a greater and deeper joy. Jesus tells his disciples that he has chosen them so that they will bear fruit. Good fruit. The fruit is produced from love. Love that inspires, that motivates us to use our talents and abilities and treasures to serve others. To use it. To be doers of the word. Loving others, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with them in word and deed, and observing how it changes their lives in a positive manner, brings with it great joy. Jesus tells his disciples that there's no greater love than giving up one's life for one's friends. Now, I mentioned at the beginning, he's at the end of his ministry. Jesus is going to the cross. He's talking about what's going to be taking place in his life. But he's also telling us that an essential part of life is how we give ourselves up for others. We may not physically die, but we may give up maybe some dreams or goals, or perhaps lifestyles, our time, our treasures for others. Parents make that sacrifice for their children. Guess what? This fall is the first time in I don't know how many years I'm not making a tuition payment. Yes, you can clap. And for those of you who have that ahead, I pray for you. Things that we do for others, things that we do. Strangers give their lives to serve and help those in need. If you ever talk to people who have died for others, they will talk about the joy that it brought them in their lives. Love one another just as I have loved you. I know it's been a long stretch there. Love one another as I have loved you.
Absolutely.
Love is one of God's greatest creations. Love is God's gift to us, and love changes us. Love changes the world. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Longing for God's will to be fulfilled among us, we pray persistently for the Church, the world, and all people in need. Holy One, open lines of communication within your Church, enabling us to listen to each person's voice and to lift up each person's unique gifts for your sake, Lord, in your mercy. Fill creation from mountain peaks to the deepest valleys invigorating spirit. Give your strength and provision to animals that prepare for the colder weather. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer, hear our prayer.
Grant your spirit of humility to those who hold authority. Direct political leaders to live in service to their citizens and to turn our eyes and our hearts towards our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy. Guard and protect the ones who call out you out of despair, illness, or injury, especially Lisa, Sue, Gary, Don, Dave, Ann, Gay, Kathy, Barb, Luxon, Gordon, and Carolyn, Christy, Mer, Lorraine, Lean, Sean, Otto, Libby, Owen, Sam, the family of Arlene, Isis, our companion congregation in Malawi, and Pastor Francis, all those who serve in our military and their families, and all of our members and friends residing in care facilities or confined to their homes. Deliver them through from struggles, their struggles, into havens where they can find healing and faithful companionship. Lord, in your mercy. Bear the pain of people who are denied justice, especially when it results in violence or death. Bring your peaceful rule into the world for the sake of those who are oppressed. Lord, in your mercy. Prepare a seat for all saints in your holy realm. Bring us all into righteous reality where honor is given to the lowly and where we all share in a life that you give. Lord, in your mercy. Enfold all those things in your compassion, O God, and bring us into life through your faithfulness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
We continue our worship of God through our offerings. The noisy offering today will be gathered for blessing bags. Thank you. Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered here together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Right.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. Giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body. It's given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." When the meal had ended, he took the cup. He gave thanks and gave it for them all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Jesus is the host of this meal and promised to be here. So come and receive. Please stand as you're able. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace and his peace. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that you welcome us to your table and satisfy our deepest hunger and thirst. By your gift of word and holy meal, strengthen us to take up the cross as we go about our callings in this world, following after Jesus Christ, our servant Lord. Amen. Like children in the arms of Jesus, sending blessings, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing our closing song.
My soul cries out with a joyful shout, the living God is great. And my spirit sings of the wondrous thing to bring to those who wait. You fixed your sight on your servants, my weakness you did not spurn. So please to us shall my name be blessed, and the world is about to turn. Help sing of the day you've of the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears as the dawn draws near and the world is about to turn. Why, I am small, my God, my all, you have worked great things in me. And your mercy will last from the depths of the bat, the end of the age to be. Your very name puts a bow to shame to those who within you yearn. You will show your might, put the strong to fight, for the world is about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn. From the halls of power to the fortress tower, not a stone will be left unthrown. Let the kingdom beware, for your justice tears every tyrant from their throne. The hungry poor shall weep no more, food they can never earn. May your table spread, every mouth be fed, the world is about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn. Though the nations rage from age to age, we remember who holds us fast. God's mercy must deliver us, the conqueror's crushing grasp. His saving word that your forebears heard, the promise that holds us round. Till the spear and rod can be crushed by God, who is turning the world around. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all fears, so the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn.
You may be seated. I bet you that was loud. I forgot to turn my microphone off. Anyway, just a few announcements that we need to get to our congregational meeting. Just a word of sadness. Dave passed away early this morning. He passed away early this morning. And so I don't know any arrangements yet. We'll be making that early. Also, Dean Wood's father, Harold, passed away Wednesday. And his funeral will be here tomorrow morning at 10:30. Josie, any announcements you have?
Just to highlight that we still need some helpers. We need helpers.
We need helpers.
At the spot, we really need drivers.
We need.
Especially if you have a very large capacity vehicle, it would really help. Instead of doing two trips. And then just on Sunday mornings, we need helpers. You don't have to be a teacher, and you don't have to be a parent. You just have to be helping hand.
Very good. Did everybody hear that?
Yes.
Did everybody get it?
Yes.
Okay. Wait for that spirit nudge. Okay. Isaac, you're on. Because you know what time it is, don't you? What time is it? Go in peace.
What?
Go, do that. Do it. Do you know what time it is?
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.